Well, today, for the first time in nearly a decade, the Senate is holding hearings on MSAs. These are military sexual assaults, both the attitudes towards them and the unique military judicial system that judges them. Under something called convening authority, commanding officers can dismiss convictions. And on Monday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said he'll investigate the Wilkerson case, in which a commanding officer cleared a convicted fighter pilot named James Wilkerson. Yesterday, legislation was introduced in the House to remove convening authority entirely. Similar legislation is expected in the Senate. And after the recent scandal at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, 32 training instructors were charged with assaulting 62 trainees during basic training. So is there a tipping point occurring in the military? We want to spend a few minutes here today in light of today's Senate hearing of MSAs and possible reforms. In a moment, we'll hear from Susan Burke, a lawyer specializing in cases of military sexual assault. But first, Jessica Hinvis. She was a fighter jet mechanic for the Air Force who was raped. She's now a member of the group Protect Our Defenders, which works to bring attention to the problem. And she joins us from the studios of WHRO in Norfolk, Virginia. Jessica, you've told us you want to tell your story. It starts in your barracks, correct?
I was in my barracks. I was walked to my room by a staff sergeant that night who made sure I was okay. My rapist was in an adjoining room. He broke in through my bathroom and raped me, walked back out, grabbed his book bag, didn't say anything to anybody, and left. I actually went to the hospital to get the forensics kit done, the rape kit, and the girl in the room next door, she reported, and that opened the investigation.
You know, this must have been an incredible betrayal. Did you fear that this might be coming?
I had no inclination at all. I joined the military knowing I could lose life or limb. That was a known. I never knew that I could be raped, especially by a soldier.
Well, and you should say fellow soldier. You know, is the sense of betrayal even more because this is a colleague?
It was like a family member, somebody I really trusted and loved.
Well, as you said, you reported this. You went and had the rape kit taken. Take us through the process from there.
The investigation continued for a year. The military legal, the JAG, they recommended that it go through an Article 32 hearing. Article 32 hearings are for murder and rape cases. They're felony charges. A few days before the court date, there's a change of command in my rapist's command. The guy had only been in command for 4 days, and he decided to stop the case from going further on the premises that he said my rapist did not act like a gentleman, but there wasn't a reason to prosecute.
You are a living example of what some say is the biggest problem with the military judicial system. The commanding officer, even though it's not, it sounds like your rapist isn't denying that he attacked you, but the commanding officer still will clear him.
I had asked Jake, what was the discretion in our testimonies? And they said we told the same story, but he said he stopped when I said no. But he didn't realize I had gone to get a forensics kit, so there was evidence that he did not stop.
And he's still in the military?
Oh, he still serves. He was actually given Airman of the Quarter Award during the middle of my investigation.
We understand another difference in the military judicial system is that you aren't guaranteed anonymity as a rape victim.
Right. After I reported, everybody turned against me, and there were knocks on my barracks door. Why was I getting them in trouble? People were very upset. I was actually sent off of my job into a building called EOR at the end of the runway, and there were guys playing videos of women being raped. So, I mean, I had so much harassment going on that I was moved to another base within 20 days. There were never repercussions for anybody harassing me. There was never repercussions for the man that raped me. But I was discharged with PTSD from the rape. So they admit that I was raped and that it affected me, but there was never any justice.
When he was cleared, what was your thinking?
I couldn't believe it. I believed in the military justice system. Even the investigation was screwy, but I thought they have to do this for a reason. And then to find out that it really isn't set up proper and that the commander is allowed the discretion with no legal education, no legal background whatsoever, just because of his rank, he's allowed to dismiss the court date. I found that so unjust. And then to hear that it happens repeatedly, it's more common than not.
Well, and this week, two congressmen, Jackie Speier of San Francisco and Bruce Bailey of Iowa, introduced the Military Judicial Reform Act, which would take away that power of the military commanders to overturn legal decisions or lessen sentences or clear people's names. This is in response to a case we're going to talk to Susan about in a moment. But you say now you're hearing of other women who've, maybe even men too, I don't know, but people who've been attacked while in the military and a commanding officer has overturned the charge?
Since I've gone public, people have been contacting me, men and women, asking me how to help with their cases and for advice. And it's unreal how many cases are just thrown out with the evidence there. There were even witnesses and testimonies that this happened. So to me, it says that the military cannot be unbiased in this. Plus, they don't have the education or the background to handle these complex cases. It really does need a team of experts in to look at it.
Civilian experts?
I think civilian to keep it accountable, but I don't think it should be taken out of the military. I think we need somebody in there to work with the military.
But Jessica, I'm wondering, you're talking about this now, you're helping other women. Do you worry that this will only reinforce the critics of women in the military and critics of the new decision to put women in combat or at least to recognize that they've been in combat? That people will see these increasing numbers of attacks and say that's the reason that women should not be in the military?
A lot of people say that. What I would say to that is in the fiscal year 2011-2012, the DOD put out their numbers for sexual assaults. And of those numbers, 53% were male now. So more men are reporting and more men are assaulted than women, according to the DOD's own statistics.
Why do you think there's the increase of attacks on men?
Well, I think because the military is weeding out the victims and really good soldiers that are very qualified, very skilled workers, and you get a perpetrator, they don't have one victim. They repeat offend. And they don't really need – this is what's really hard for people to understand. They don't need a woman or a man. They just need an opportunity to offend. Once they get into the system and they realize, like with my rapist, he's already offended two other people – they realize that they can get away with this. They figure out the investigation, the legal system. They become, you know, friends with the commander, somebody that knows the commander. They learn how to manipulate situations because it's such a controlled environment. Now, people will say this is a societal issue also, but there are not any crackheads in the military, and there's a reason for it. The military could handle this, but they don't want to give up any authority to allow that to happen, allow real progress and reform to happen.
Jessica, thanks so much.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Jessica Henvis, a former Air Force mechanic, now with the group Protect Our Defenders. So where are we on the laws? In the House, Democrat Nikki Tsongas of Massachusetts and Republican Mike Turner of Ohio created the Military Sexual Assault Prevention Caucus. Laws have been passed allowing victims to get base transfers and legal counsel after an attack. But Congresswoman Tsongas tells us she worked with a rape victim in Afghanistan whose commander didn't know she had the right to be transferred rather than fight alongside her alleged attacker. Your thoughts, especially if you're in the military, we'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. And when we come back, we'll have much more Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about sexual assault in the military. Today, one of the subcommittees of the Senate Armed Services Committee is holding hearings in light of recent headlines, including systematic assaults during basic training at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. There are a growing number of cases of assault and rape of troops. Before the break, we heard from former Air Force mechanic Jessica Henvis. The military lawyers, the JAG, agreed she had evidence of rape. Their investigation was going forward until the commanding officer of her attacker exercised his power of convening authority and wiped out the charges against him. Susan Burke is a lawyer specializing in MSAs, military sexual assaults. She's at today's hearings. And Susan, charges being removed, how often does this happen?
It actually is quite common. There is one case that just happened in Aviano, Italy, that's getting a fair amount of attention, where Lieutenant Colonel Wilkerson was convicted by a jury of Air Force colonels and lieutenant colonels. He was convicted for rape and put in jail for a year. And then General Franklin, his convening authority, just made it go away. He set the man free, and he's back at his desk, still an officer in the Air Force. So sadly, Jessica's experience is not aberrational. It happens time and time again.
Well, this is the case that has prompted Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel to take a look at convening authority. But what about some of the other things that we just heard, that the judicial system in the military is just so different from the civilian one, that, for instance, accusers lose their anonymity, so they're less likely to report?
You see a structural problem. The way the Code of Military Justice is set up, it makes the entire reporting of the crime way too intrusive into one's workplace. So whereas in civilian life, if you're a crime victim, you go to the police and you report and you confront an impartial system of justice that doesn't in any way impact your career or your workplace. In the military, it's quite the opposite. Everything is flowing through the workplace. It's a broken system that needs to be changed by an act of Congress.
Well, what about criticism that past attempts to change it were flawed? The McClatchy newspapers, for instance, did an investigation into the attempt in the mid-2000s to shift the burden of proof in a new rape law in the military so that, whereas under the Constitution, prosecutors had to prove, for instance, that a victim was too drunk to give consent in a rape case, and this is a very specific case in the military. A young 23-year-old was accused of aggravated sexual assault by an intoxicated co-soldier. And the young man had to prove that she was capable of consenting. And there was feeling at the time that this shift of the burden of proof didn't work.
It's not the case that legal shift didn't work. What you had was simply a certain amount of confusion among the defense bar, confusion among the prosecutors as to how the new rules were going to be applied in practice. That type of kind of temporary confusion is not reason to resign our service members to second-class citizenship, to resign them to a system that's not impartial and not fair.
Well, what do you think about other legislation that failed and is now being, you know, re-energized? The STOP Act, for instance, the Sexual Assault Training, Oversight, and Prevention Act. It would do something Jessica and others have asked for. It would create this civilian and military body outside of this chain of command to handle these kinds of cases. This legislation died in committee last year. Do you think it has legs this year because of all this attention on convening authority and the military justice system? And do you think that it's perfect or can also be improved?
There's a single point that needs to be fixed, and that is this role of the chain of command as the gatekeepers into and out of the judicial system. Any piece of legislation that comes forward has got to grapple with taking that convening authority out of the mix, because that's the piece of it that's making it so unfair. It's leading to retaliation, harassment. The one piece that is in the STOP Act and that needs to be in any type of legislation is to pull apart the workplace and the judicial system. That's where the flaw is. That's the structural impediment to progress.
Well, the Department of Defense itself says that the majority of sexual assaults in the military do go unreported because of fear of retaliation. But meanwhile, what do you think the sense is now that something might happen? One of the reasons the Senate is having the hearings today is the outrage that came after, you know, the hearings that were held on the sexual harassment of trainees at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas were sparsely attended. The military officials who were testifying got up and left before any of the victims' testimony. Do you think there will be more energy now towards actually paying attention to this and maybe changing something?
I do think there is a lot of attention up on the Hill in Congress now, and I do think we are going to see movement and we are going to see a change, because the reality is that significant underreporting that DOD has admitted, it's caused not just by the retaliation, but by the reality that if you report, your perpetrator is very, very unlikely to be incarcerated.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a greater sense to address this now that women are officially going to be in combat.
Well, I do think that it is that's a step in the right direction, and I do think that helps push everything along. I would note, though, that in absolute numbers, there's more men being raped in the military than there are women.
Why is that? Why is that?
There's just more men. If you look in absolute terms, there's just a total number of more men. So whereas 1% of men are being raped, 20% of women are being raped. In absolute numbers, 1% is more men.
Well, and it underscores that rape is not sex, it's power and violence.
That's the problem. And, you know, in order to stop the crime, you've got to lock up predators. There's no other way to stop it from happening.
That's Susan Burke, a lawyer specializing in cases of military sexual assault at today's hearings on Capitol Hill. Susan, thanks for stepping up for us.
Certainly. Thank you for having me, Robin.
And again, we'd love your thoughts at hereandnow.org or on facebook.com/hereandnowradio, on Twitter @hereandnow, @hereandnowrobin. Love to hear from you. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from the former president of Ireland, Mary Robinson. And still ahead today, a closer look at that study that says states with more gun laws have fewer gun deaths. But the latest news is next, here and now.